Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw from his apartment.
Wait, whose apartment? Yeah, Alex's?
I apologize for the confusion. From Joseph's apartment.
Oh. Okay. I was going to say, that could be why you showed up in pajamas.
It is exactly why I'm in pajamas. Yep. Second day. I have 5 days of pajama pants ready to go.
Living the life.
That's got to be one of those, like, same pajamas, different day or something like that. Is that one of those, like, kind of like Spencer's Gifts kind of t-shirts that you find? World Imports, whatever. They don't even have those stores anymore. They don't even have malls anymore. Never mind that store in the mall.
That's like the face of depression. Same pajamas, different day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with that Spencer's, they're all fart jokes on everyone.
Yeah.
There's a reason Spencer's is gone.
Like, for no reason, there's, like, a farting cat on it. It says, same pajamas, different day, and there's a farting cat. It's like, wait, what?
I knew someone who applied for a job once at Spencer Gifts, and they said the weird thing about Spencer Gifts is they have the lowest, like, customer turnover rate. Like, they have the most people who come in and just look around and leave and don't buy anything. Like,
oh, yeah, I bet.
Out of, like, any store, and I could totally, it makes complete sense.
Well, hopefully, listeners, you won't turn around and leave as we talk about minute 72 of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Minute 72 starts with Jyn accusing Cassian of going up there to kill her father, and it ends with Cassian accusing Jyn of, like, suddenly caring about the rebellion or something.
Feelings being discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a juicy feelings minute.
Yeah. Emotions are high.
I have to admit, I'm a little annoyed by Jyn in this scene.
Okay, I will take the opposing side of that argument.
Okay, great.
So I'm happy to hear where you're coming from.
I mean, to be fair, remember she's a truck. So
I always thought she was more of a jerk. No, to me it seems like because. It's not business. It's not personal. It's business, Jyn Erso. Like, this guy is the designer of the Death Star. Like, I can understand your feelings might be hurt, but, like, this is too important. Like, it seems like she's being very naive about, I guess because we just saw Cassian kill people in cold blood before, and, you know, this seems like a much more justifiable thing than killing Kevin at the beginning of the movie. So, for Jyn to be all like, no, it's my father. I can understand her feelings about it, but, like, if I was in this situation, I feel like I'd be more like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how naive I was and, like, how stupid I was to not think you guys were going to kill him. Of course you're going to kill him. As opposed to, I can't believe you're going to kill him. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Well, I have two reactions. You're calling Tivik Kevin. Is that the thing here on Rogue One Minutes? We're calling Tivik Kevin?
Yeah. That's his first name, Kevin Tivik.
Kevin Tivik. Okay, good. I just want to get my jargon straight since I'm going to be here in my fart pajama pants all week. I want to make sure.
I forgot you're not really a Star Wars fan, so go ahead.
So I didn't really know his first name. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Poor Kevin Tivik. No, so at this point, I have read all those novels that I talked about last week, Catalyst and Rogue One and Rebel Rising, and I do think they do a good job of fleshing out what is there in Rogue One and match up perfectly with what's on screen, but I sometimes wonder if what's on screen is enough. For me, the reason she's mad is she traveled with Saw being trained as a rebel fighter, saw do horrible, immoral things, totally became an absolute, the Empire and the Rebellion are just as bad as each other. They just go in a circle, all murdering each other. So I don't want to have anything to do with either of them. Mm-hmm. That's where she's at the beginning of the movie. Then the Rebellion is like, look, we don't agree with Saw's tactics. We just want to go find your father. So for her, it is a validation of why she didn't want to work with Rebellion in the first place. And I think a sort of betrayal of trust, since she was starting to kind of seem like this Cassian guy seems okay. And nope, he is just the exact same kind of a-hole that I've been trying to avoid for years. And then add on top of it, hey, it was my father that I haven't seen for years. And it turns out he loves me and missed me. I just feel like she has multiple reasons to be upset and need a nice handhold from Cassian or from Chirrut.
Chirrut,
right.
Oh, those are valid points.
Thank you.
Well, I mean,
Alex,
you know,
you're basically like, I understand that emotion might be a thing. Yes.
Well, no, because I don't want this to turn into yet another internet, like us being forced to argue about different positions. I could just understand how reading the books and stuff, it would be more, but like, Jyn didn't seem to have any hesitation about killing stormtroopers before. She didn't seem to have any, like, I don't know why. Like, okay, it's okay to kill grunt level stormtroopers with who cares about them. But the guy who designed the Death Star, come on, he deserves special treatment because he's a relative of mine.
Yeah, but okay. If you were told, hey, there's some people that are trying to kill us, we do have to kill them because they're actively about to kill us, but we just want to talk to your dad, and then somebody just shoots your dad, and you'd be like, well, it was naive of me to not see that coming.
If I teamed up with an anti-government terrorist organization known for killing people, and then and then suddenly I'm going to be shocked when they kill people perform acts of terrorism?
I did not realize you're an Imperial sympathizer. That's where we're not seeing eye to eye.
Well, yeah, I mean,
hey man,
well,
you gotta
no,
start somewhere.
I'm not an Imperial sympathizer, which is why I think Galen Erso deserves to die, because he designed a weapon of mass destruction.
But he only did it for the actual reason to, because he knew he couldn't escape. So he figured, well, if I try to escape, they'll just find me. So I guess I will just work on it and only work on it with the motivation to build a flaw. So yeah. As it turns out, I think Galen's a pretty nice guy.
A flaw that is so hard to get to. It's a one in a million shot of someone actually being able to exploit that flaw.
Well, he is also a big fan of the Jedi.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure he comforted himself with that thought every day for the last 10 years as he worked with the people who helped eliminate the Jedi.
The destruction of the Death Star is like a good group improv scene. And he was just throwing out a suggestion, and he was waiting for the Rebellion and Luke Skywalker to say yes and.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, yeah. And boom.
Yes and boom.
So you're saying that if the Rebel, if Luke Skywalker had been killed in the Battle of Yavin, and Yavin 4 was blown up and the Death Star went along its merry way, if Galen Erso was still alive, he would still be actively, he wouldn't be like, all right, well, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut about that little flaw from now on, now that the losing side has lost and I can't cover my my skin.
Oh, no, I feel like Galen Erso would have made some other attempt to exploit the weakness that he built in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he probably would have waited. Probably like, okay, I'll give it another 10 years, and then I'll do something.
He's trying pretty hard. He's the catalyst of the movie. He sends Bodhi Rook to pass on the information. So yeah. I'm not saying he did a great job. I just think his heart was in the right place until it was blown out of his body by rebel bombs.
By a Y-wing. High five.
Y-wing high five. But I did want to bring up in particular I really like that this intense emotional scene is being played while Cassian changes his clothing. So it has a real Mr. Rogers vibe, like an angry military Mr. Rogers.
Captain totally. Rogers.
Captain Rogers.
Roger, I did like her judgmental tone when she says, "I've seen it before," and she goes, "I bet you have." I thought that was well done. I'll give him credit for that.
Mm-hmm. It should have also. I'm digging into this, and I feel like he should have been like he should have had to like change his pants, and he's like awkwardly like hopping on one foot while he tries to pull the pants off of one leg, and it's all like you know, serious emotional dialogue, but he's doing kind of ridiculous. Kind of like stretching to kind of like you know, you're a jerk. Can you untie that? Can you reach that buckle? I can't. It's behind me. Can you undo that? It's just like them slowly kind of like trying to get all this complicated equipment off.
That would be that would be a good metaphor for how they have to work together despite their differences.
Right.
Yeah, there should have been some towels with some Imperial logos on them, or maybe even Palpatine's face that everybody could have been drying off together.
Mm. Now I want towels with Imperial logos on them. I'm sure they make them.
I'm sure that one is easy enough to come by.
Yeah.
One with the grinning face of Palpatine is probably a little bit more obscure, but maybe we'll add that to our Blacklight poster.
There you go.
Have you talked a lot on the podcast about the upcoming Cassian Andor series? Is there a general thumbs up or thumbs down from Team Star Wars Minute on that?
Generally seems to be a kind of like, oh, I guess so. Like no one seems particularly excited or is like, oh, they shouldn't do that idea. So
generally on the side of positive. I'm you know, I've been burned before. I've seen it before, but I have general high hopes, but not too high. I'm not banking everything on it. I'm like, oh, it's going to be the best. I'm just like, oh, I'll check that out. That looks like fun.
Cool. I'm super excited for it largely because of like some of the little teeny bits of backstory we get in these scenes. Not that I think they're going to do like a direct prequel thing of like, hey, remember when he says he's seen it before? Well, here's the time he saw it before. But I think getting that sense that from starting with his murder of Kevin onto this scene and his decision not to shoot at Galen, I think it's just going to be a really different, really fascinating Star Wars take to have. Here's all the years where Cassian Andor did awful things in the name of the rebellion. That's a juicy place to start a Star Wars story because I think it's really going to be not stuff we've seen before.
My concern is that like the Solo, one of the mistakes they made with the Solo movie was they basically recreated Han Solo's arc in A New Hope in Star Wars, where first he's like, oh, I don't want to get involved with anything. And then he's like, okay, you know, I will. Like, I think for the Cassian show, ideally, it would not have him being since maybe at the very end of the series, it would have him start to question his beliefs. But I don't want to see Cassian from episode one being this Cassian who's unsure about he should be totally committed to it and like a zealot about it. And only here would we see the change that he's like, oh, my gosh, I have to rethink this. But I worry that as the star of a weekly television show, they're going to have to sand off those kind of edges.
Unless. Yeah, it'd be fun if they did an opposing view where he did something that is, you know, really awful, but we can see why he feels super justified in it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it'd be interesting if they make, you know, he's bad cop throughout the show, and then there's another character who's good cop who then ends up, or maybe Kevin is good cop. Like, somebody else is good cop, you know, is the kind of more level-headed, kind of sympathetic character, and Cassian's the kind of, you know, he's the one that goes too far all the time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like the idea of Kevin being in it. So you got Cassian, K2SO, and Kevin. You got the whole team back together.
I hope they really set up Kevin. What's his name? Tenek?
Tivik.
I hope they really set him up as like a great character, like building to this big storyline, and then it's like to be continued in Rogue One, and he just dies like instantly without. You see him break his arm, and then just helping the rebellion and stuff.
There should be a big plan of what they're going to do the next time they see each other. You know, they're going to exchange phone numbers and talk about their families. The next time we get together, let's just really bond.
The last scene should be him leaving his pregnant wife. I'll be home in 2 weeks. And then we'll have the baby and everything will be great. I'll retire and so on.
I like that he's a member of the Beatles, too.
Yeah. Hey, we got to get those people in the seats. Yeah, so that's the, she says, what you were saying before about him doing like jobs. I think if you took Jyn Erso out of this equation, would we have any doubt that he should be killing Galen Erso?
Yes.
Like if she wasn't tagging along and the guy said, when you get there, kill the guy who designed the Death Star plans, you think he would still, would like, the audience still be on his side with his wavering?
Like if Cassian had just picked up Bodhi Rook without Jyn's involvement somehow.
Yeah. Or, you know, Jyn was died on Jeddah or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
They dropped, yeah, left. No. She decided not to go and they left her at the Rebel base, whatever the scenario is.
I would never, ever have been on Cassian's side for pulling the trigger for a couple reasons. Because Mon Mothma says, hey, go get the information. Getting information seems really, really like a smart thing to do. And then it's when Draven, who is, you know, wrong,
right,
pulls him aside and like, actually, don't listen to Mon Mothma. Listen to me. Just kill him.
Right.
So it was already introduced as a, not even the actual leader of the Rebel Alliance is necessarily fully on board with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is just Draven getting out over his space skis.
Just Draven being Draven.
It's just being a Draven.
I guess we don't really know the chain of command at the Rebellion.
Yeah, it seems like there is a, like, they were going to try to call off the X-Wings, but they were out of range. The X-Wings and the Y-Wings, excuse me, but they're out of range, right?
They were already engaged, yeah.
Right. They were already engaged, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also just for me, like, I totally understand where you're coming at it from the point of, like, questioning what is Galen Erso's moral responsibility. But for me, it's like, hey, spies should get information before they kill. I think James Bond has ruined how spy actually works. Information gathering seems more important than at least to do it first. If you need to do murder and get information, I vote for always getting information before murder, just because it seems easier.
So like, you know, Osama bin Laden, you're like, you should have captured Osama bin Laden, not just killed him.
That's a one-to-one comparison that is definitely a weird one for me.
Don't worry, we're not going to turn this into an anti-Joseph Scrimshaw political ad.
I know your gotcha techniques, guys.
Speaking of Jyn not going with them, just spun me into a little side universe where instead of picking up Jyn Erso for this adventure, they picked up Ulan Musters, the weird Blutopian, the alien that she shared a cell with.
Oh, the one whose name has changed a bunch of times, yeah, in Star Wars canon?
Yeah, Ulan Musters, a.k.a. Kennel, a.k.a. Nail.
Yeah, I liked it back in the simple days when her name was Nail.
I would love to see her on this adventure.
It would have been great if they picked Nail up, because they were an alien squad goes to free them and they pick up Nail because they're a racist and don't realize that you're like, that's not a human. Like they thought that like all those non-Rhodians look the same to us. That kind of thing.
Yeah,
it would have been great if they should definitely have added an extra half hour or 2 hours to Rogue One where they keep picking up the wrong person. Like, I thought you were Jyn Erso.
I'm Jyn Erso. That kind of a thing. Well, you know, I always want to do our Star Wars Minute comic book idea where we expand each minute of the comic book into each minute of the movie into a 30-page story. So we'd have to add a lot more, you know, subplots and backstories and stuff. So.
Right.
So Alex, on this, your deep desire for the murder of Galen Erso, when Cassian chose not to shoot him, because he says in this scene, I had orders that I disobeyed. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about seeing Cassian disobey them? Do you feel like that's motivated? And why do you think Cassian doesn't pull the trigger?
Well, I think they're trying to establish, I think it's been established that, or it will be established that Cassian is kind of starting to get, feel uneasy about his role as just a killer. You know, when he's, you know, he says something like, something has to make all of this worth it. Like all the horrible things I did, it has to have a good result. You know, there has to be something out of this. So I think on a personal level, he is, I can understand him being conflicted. Plus, you know, it's this girl, this new girl he wants to impress. So he doesn't want to, the first thing, he doesn't want to kill her dad. But,
look how I didn't kill your dad.
If there was a thing, like, let's say Tarkin was on somewhere and they could take a shot at Tarkin and kill him. And then to have him be, oh, you know what? That's, I just don't feel like that's the time necessarily to be questioning the role of morality in a thing like that, a situation like that. So,
yeah, I think the big thing for me is just that the information thing. If they needed information from Tarkin, that would be a different situation than just go take out. If it was just, hey, this person sucks.
Well, I thought Draven said if you can't get him, if he's going to stay in Imperial hands, he can't be allowed to stay in Imperial hands. That was his rule. Like, if you can get him, great. If you can bring him back, great. But if your only option is to kill him, which at this point it would have been, unless they're going to climb down that giant ladder, get Galen Erso, and climb all the way back down without...
I feel like, didn't he go back and like clarify? He was just like, you know what I mean? Get him. Like,
I thought he just said, your orders stand. Like, do what you got to do, kind of a thing.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what this comes down to is Cassian was kind of being a slacker.
Yeah.
He saw that tall ladder and said, no point in even trying to climb.
Right. Just like he did with Kevin.
Yeah, totally. He hates, that guy really hates ladders.
Ladders.
Yeah. And she compares, Jin compares him to a lowly stormtrooper, which has got to be the worst insult you can give some. I liked how they continued that in The Mandalorian, where someone like accused one character of being a stormtrooper and the other character took great insult to that line. And that guy was a bad guy too. So
yeah,
it's not like he's anti. He's not. He's his resentment with the stormtroopers isn't their morals. It's their
standing. Targeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for Jin, this is her both sides are the same argument of like, well, then if you just follow orders to shoot people, then you're a stormtrooper.
Right.
Sounds like someone's been to Canto Bight.
She should have she should have called him a battle droid. What are you, a battle droid?
Oh. Yeah.
And not one of those.
With your high-pitched voice.
Not one of those fancy ones that looks like a Cylon. One of the lame ones that just falls apart in a second when you hit it with a stick.
I would have loved it if she saluted sarcastically and they went, Roger, Roger.
I feel like saying to someone, you're a B1, that's a pretty good insult, even if you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You B1.
Damn. Maybe K2SO would have taken offense at that.
K2SO would have stuck his head back and said, damn.
Ooh.
I also wanted to point out that the idea of luxury comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because that, remember earlier in the film, I just had my note from that, but I lost it. But it's, you know, when they first kind of bring up the rebellion, you know, and then Jin is being all like, I don't need you guys. I'm cool. Like she says something, you know, she says, I've never had the luxury of political opinions, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, kind of Cassian's throwing that back in her face saying like, I've, you know, not all of us have the luxury of deciding when to care or something. Was it deciding to care? I don't have the exact.
Deciding one. When and where we want to care about something.
Yeah.
He calls her a truck.
Yeah. Not all of us are trucks.
Yeah. I love this line, man. I think for the people that were really affected by Rogue One, when it came out and, you know, kind of building to that sort of spirit of rebellion, it's just so, to me, it's really powerful because I feel like a lot of the Star Wars story is about choosing when to act and when not to act. And I think it's just a great thematic idea to say, well, hey, if Jin, you manage to run away from this all, which we learned in the books was not easy, and she doesn't actually succeed. She keeps getting trapped up. But it's just, to me, it's a light touch of Star Wars being real world without being so distractingly real world that it takes you out of Star Wars, of just that idea of, hey, it's one thing to know there's a government that is putting its boot on people's necks, and there's another to actually have the boot on your neck, and you can't go like, you know what, I'm just going to kick back and ignore this. And I really like that. It's one of the moments where Cassian really comes into focus as a character, his strong perspective.
Yeah. Well, and But he was there, right? He was in the room when she said that initially. That was around the round table, the rebel round
table. Yeah.
He was in the room when it happened.
Right. just want to make sure that he's specifically bringing that kind of back up, probably just for her. Just to get to her.
Joseph, the first time you saw Rogue One, I forget, did Catalyst, had you read Catalyst already, or did it come out after the movie?
Oh, no, Catalyst came out a little while ahead. So, yeah, I had read Catalyst, and it definitely helped. It definitely helped cue me in into some of her background and her perspective. And even more than that, Krennic, because it's a lot about Krennic's relationship with her parents.
Hmm. Now, you knew, I assume when you read the book, you knew who the actors were playing everybody in Catalyst.
Yeah. So it was kind of weird in terms of like mental picture, because you knew some of the characters and then didn't know some others.
Right. Like Ulan Musters. So you're like, what's up with Nail? What do they look like? I'm assuming they're handsome. I mean, they're a lovely lady.
She unfortunately does not appear in Catalyst until in the, she's great in the Rogue One novelization. I don't know if people went on about that.
No, feel free.
Yeah. She talks about how she's gonna kill Jyn Erso someday.
Why? Why does she hate Jyn Erso so much?
She's just ornery. It's a great character in the book. It's just like, I don't like you. Probably gonna kill you. Good night. And then
so
they bunk
together.
Bad
luck that she just happened to be. It wasn't like Jyn Erso did anything to her. Like that, she swore revenge. She just did just personal don't like her.
You know, it's like what happens with good old Walrus, man. Just sometimes people don't like your face.
Now I wish Rouge One had ended with them getting off of a Scarif, and then suddenly out of nowhere, a Nail would come and be like, justice is served, and kill Jyn Erso at the end of the movie.
I would have also been fine if the camera just panned over at the end and Nail joined in on the hug.
Aww.
And Kevin with a band-aid.
A big band-aid on his stomach.
Well, you could do like Force Ghost Kevin and stuff. That could be a good way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm in favor of random Force Ghost showing up from time to time. And you'd be like, who's that? Oh, it's from a different story. He's just stopping by to.
He was tired of swimming, so he took a break.
Yeah. They should definitely have some space popcorn to just remind us that they're always watching.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Like that Michael Jackson gif.
We've a couple of times mentioned, Joseph, that this Rogue One is very suited to becoming a musical. The emotions and just the way that it's kind of staged. It should be a musical. And this is, you know, we can't always play that card. There can't be a new musical number every week. We can't have, 25 different musical numbers in this. But
can't?
I think, well, we shouldn't. Let's take our foot off the gas a little bit. But I think at the end of this minute, when Cassian says, suddenly the rebellion is real for you, that should come back later. Now, we had a kind of a tease, but both the times that Jyn is standing around the rebel round table talking would be, a musical number and then a big reprise of that musical number. And so it should come back during that second one, a couple of minutes down the road, the what is she proposing kind of scene. She should in her stronger version of that, the original version of the song, but she was saying like, look, I don't know, rebellion, who knows? But then she's firmly committing in that song. And so then she should say, suddenly the rebellion is real for me and kind of, maybe give touch cash in his face when she says that to be like, yes, you were right. Suddenly it is real to me.
Oh yeah. I like that. I think this is this scene could definitely be an angry duet.
Hmm. This right here, yeah, with a little like dun, yeah, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, this is definitely some finger snapping where they're both sharing their point of view. Ensure it is there to make sure it doesn't get too violent.
Yeah,
I'm gonna propose the Rogue One musical be called Rogue 5678.
I feel like almost all of this song should end with K2SO yelling at them to shut up, and that should be the end of every song.
Right.
Stop singing.
Well, that's all I have for 72. You guys got anything else?
Nope. So this conversation kind of continues until tomorrow, so maybe a little more for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, listeners at home, if you want to argue with us the way that Jin and Cassian are arguing here, why not hunt us down on social media? We can follow the show at Star Wars Minute on Twitter. You can follow me at Pete the Retailer. You can follow Alex at ArobTwit, not comic book Alex. Joseph, are you just Joseph Scrimshaw on Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw.
Yeah, and then the show is at the Star Wars Minute. We don't say at for Instagram, do we? It's the Star Wars Minute on Instagram. And you can take umbrage with what we've said. Make your own political ad against Star Wars Minute. And then hopefully we'll still see you back here tomorrow for a brand new episode of Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.